Today I want to talk to you for a little bit from a well-known psalm, Psalm 23. Could you go there if you have your Bibles with me, please? Psalm 23. I just want to show you a perspective, another perspective from this psalm of the goodness of God, really. And what this psalm is actually saying. I've ministered on it several times over the years. And I've also even ministered on this psalm in a funeral, the last funeral I held. A young teenager passed away, and his favorite psalm was this psalm. So I ministered on that in that funeral. Psalm 23, I'm going to read it from verse 1. It's a short psalm, only 6 verses. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff. They comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This psalm is very interesting, contextual-wise, because Psalm 22 is well known as a prophetic psalm, and it speaks of the past. This psalm, Psalm 22, was written about 1,000 years before Jesus Christ died on the cross. And in Psalm 22, when you read it, you see prophetic statements made regarding the crucifixion that would happen 1,000 years years later. So that's Psalm 22. Psalm 23 speaks of the present, and I'm going to talk about that a little bit, just a little bit more. But Psalm 24 points to the future. So right there in the middle between Psalm 22 and Psalm 24, you have Psalm 23 talking about the present. And Psalm 23 is the most well-known psalm, according to a lot of scholars, and I believe it to be true. It's known more than any other psalm in the Bible. And it was written by David. And I'll speak a little bit more about David in a moment. But let me just get right down to the context of Psalm 23. I'm going to break that into maybe 3 parts. The first 3 verses, David is speaking, and what he is doing, he is saying, well, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And he goes right down to verse 3, talking and describing the Lord himself. So he's talking about the Lord in the first 3 verses. What does he say? He said that the Lord is my shepherd. And if anybody should know about shepherding, David knows about shepherding. Because David had 3 jobs, or 3 primary jobs in his life, if you can call it jobs. I'll just call him 3 phases in his life, really. He was a shepherd. He started off from a young age, about 15 to 19, when he was looking after his father's sheep. He then went into what we call a space-time, really, where he was a fugitive, because he was then being hunted and being killed for a long time, or hunted to be killed for a long time, by King Saul, who wanted to kill him because he was jealous of him. The Lord used David to bring a victorious victory to the whole camp, or the whole army of Israel. And Saul was jealous because the people, the women, began to sing, "Saul has slain his thousands and David his tens of thousands." And Saul was really jealous of that and changed his heart in regards and his attitude in regards to David, and sought to kill him. And so David was a fugitive for a long time. He lived in caves, he was alone, and he went through quite a lot. But then we see later on in his life that David became king. And to my knowledge, David is the only king in the Bible that's been anointed 3 times for that one office. 3 times he was anointed. Okay, to be king. And so he went through different phases of his life, 3 different phases. And here he is talking about his experience in regards to looking after his father's sheep, Jesse's sheep. And he is comparing the care and the attention that he gave then to his father's sheep, to the way that the Lord is a shepherd looking after him as he does today, looks after his people. Because our God is a good shepherd, amen?
Amen.
So he said that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That word want means a lesson. I shall not be lessened. I shall not be decreased. I shall not lack. I shall not fail. Because he recognized that Jesus Christ, who is the good shepherd, is looking after him just as how he looked after the sheep of his father when he was looking after them. And he says, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. That's very interesting. Because sheep are not known for lying down until three things happen. Number one, sheep, they have to be fed. If they're not fed, they will not lie down. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that sheep are easily spooked. And if they're spooked, they will not lie down. So they will be on their feet. And the third thing is, if there's conflict within the fold, maybe another sheep against another sheep, they will not lie down. They will stand on their feet and they will be maybe spooked by that as well. And so these three things need to happen for sheep to actually lie down. And here we see David saying that he makes me, this is the good shepherd now, Jesus Christ, makes me to lie down. And lie down where? In green pastures. Green speaks of richness. It's not just any pasture. The good shepherd leads his sheep to good pasture. And here the Bible calls it green pastures, which speaks of pleasantness, richness, which speaks of the good things that's there in that pasture for the sheep to feed on. And he compares himself to the good shepherd. The good shepherd does the same thing. God looks after his people. Even though you may go through rough times, he looks after his people. He is there, and God always leads his people to victory, to green pastures. He knows how to take care of his own, because he is the good shepherd. So those are the three things we see in verse 3. But let me point something else out, because it also says, David talks about, he restores my soul. He leads me. He leads me. He restores my soul. And he leads me in the paths of righteousness. And it's when you get to verse 4 now, the context changed. So verse 1 to 3, David is talking about the good shepherd. Now in verse 4, it says that, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, things now begin to change. And David's language in this psalm changes as well. Because now the shepherd also, one of his responsibilities is to lead the sheep, as we said, into green pastures. And sometimes that will mean going through the valley. And the valley is not a good place. The valley is a dark place. The valley is a trying place. The valley is a place of temptation. The valley is a place where there is danger. The valley is a place where death lingers. But even though these things, these negatives are there, the good shepherd realizes that, hey, I've got to take these sheep, lead these sheep into green pastures, and it means I've got to go through the valley. I've got to go through it, because if I don't go through it, they won't get to the green pasture. Are you with me? Alright, so he leads, the good shepherd leads his sheep through the valley, through the dark times, through the rough terrain, through the difficulties, through the challenges that might exist, because animals might lurk there to pounce on the sheep and to kill them. Predators might be there of all different kinds, and it was a shepherd's duty to protect. And David knew this from his own experience, because David was the one who, the Bible says, fought the lion when the lion came to kill the sheep. David fought it, and David killed it. And the bear, when the bear came at one instance in his life to come after the sheep, David was the one who was shepherding the sheep and fought the bear to protect the sheep. And so David is using this and his own experiences now to talk about the good shepherd. And I want to tell you today that the good shepherd lives today. We're not just a bunch of religious people meeting here because we have nothing to do. But we know Christ on a personal basis. He's come into our hearts and we have an experience of him and we believe his word and what he says, and we've proven him in our time, in the difficult times. Becoming a Christian doesn't mean that everything is going to go right and everything is going to be on cloud nine and everything is going to be fine. No, there will be challenges, just like how anybody else have challenges. But the good news is we've got the good shepherd on our side. And if we trust him, he will lead us into green pastures. You're going through difficulty now, but listen, it's a valley. And the valley doesn't go on forever. Remember now, the psalmist says, yea, though I walk through the valley. Not make your home in the valley, but walk through it. He said this, I will fear no evil. Notice that the language changes. He began talking about the Lord is. He is my shepherd. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. But now the language changes because it's more personal. It's more intimate. And David said, no, this is what I'm going to do. And he made two I wills. But then it shifts now. The language changes from saying he makes to your rod, or you will do. Because he says this, that your rod, in verse 4, and your staff, this is the good shepherd, his rod and his staff will comfort me, even though I'm walking through the valley, even though I'm going through dark times, even though there's danger lurking around. But his trust was in the good shepherd, that he will protect him and that he will lead him into a better place that he was taking him into. And so he said, your rod and your staff. A rod was two things a shepherd had, at least two things. One of them was a rod, mentioned here in the verse, and the other one was a staff. A rod is a short club that the shepherd would use to ward off wild animals that would come to try to attack the sheep. And the second thing that he had was a staff. A staff is a shepherd's crook, which is a long stick with a curve on the end, almost looking like a question mark. And the sheep are wandering off track. The shepherd would gently place that crook around the neck of the sheep and pull them back in line, in fold, so that they don't wander away from the shepherd. And those two things David made mention here. He says, even though I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, and where the shadow of death is, guess what? Death is nearby. But he said this, I will fear no evil, because I know that you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they bring me comfort. Fancy that. You're going through a dark time, you're going through a difficult time, but you can still have comfort. Another verse in the Bible speaks about the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. And you can only experience that, you can only have that, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. But David also said something else, changing the language. He said it went from he to you. And it was more personal. He said, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. But you also prepare a table before me. Where? In the presence of my enemies. In the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Now, some time ago, I spoke about the six things that about sheep. I'm not going to go into that now because of time. But oil was very, very important and still is important today. And oil is symbolical of the Holy Spirit. And so as believers, we have the Holy Spirit with us. So even though we're going through difficult times, our Savior anoints us to help us carry on and to carry through that duties, those duties that we have and that he expects us to carry out. David was making prayerful declarations when he was saying these things. Your rod and your staff, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. And he ended in verse 6 with a prophetic declaration. This is what he said. He said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Do you see the pattern? In the first three verses, he's talking, he's describing God, talking about God, talking about it. In the next three verses or 2.5 verses, what he's doing is, he's not talking about God, but he's now describing his personal relationship with God. He's now declaring what God will do for him. And in the end now, in verse 6, at the end of verse 6, he's making a prophetic declaration. And I'll repeat that. He said, surely, verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. You know what mercy is? Mercy is not getting what you really do deserve. And that's the good God that we serve, because really the Bible says that we were all born and shapen in iniquity. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And the good thing is that that gift, folks, it's available today. And I want to tell you something, folks. You need Jesus Christ in your life. There's not a human on this planet that doesn't need him. I was reading a report just yesterday, and this was one of many. There is a hell that we need to shun, and we need to fear, and we need to not go there. I was reading a report of someone who actually went there. The Lord took them there. And there are many reports like this. They went there and they were in a coma, and the Lord took them for a short period to hell. And this person was saying that they were describing some of what they're seeing. And all I'll mention is this, that they saw people there. Some of them that they, most of them they, he didn't know. But one or two he did know. And the people were saying, please go back and tell my relatives that they can't come to this place, that they need Jesus Christ in their lives. Because you see, once you're there, it's too late. You're lost and lost forever. There's no repentance beyond that. And there is a God who loves and who cares. And this person that the Lord took there, he turned and he looked at the Lord. And the Lord had tears coming down his eyes because he died, you see, for all of us. He died for them. But they refused him. They did not accept him. And the consequence of that is that they lost their lives. They weren't living anymore on earth. And they ended up in a place that was actually created for the devil and his angels. And I'm here today to say, not to scare anybody, but to say to you that it's a real place. And it's a place that needs to be avoided. And there is a God who loves, there is a God who cares, whose arms are reaching out to you, even now. And his voice may be reaching into your heart and saying, hey, you need to make that change. You need to make that change. As David became personal in this psalm with the Lord, even so, an intimate with the Lord wants to have an intimate relationship with every single one of you here today. And he wants to assure that your future is a good one. David said, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that's a beautiful thing that he was able to say because he loved the Lord so much. Now, he realized that this was possible. David, this is. Right? He realized that God, first of all, as a good shepherd, just like David, didn't delegate responsibility. He realized that this responsibility is his. Jesus Christ today looks out for his people. He doesn't delegate it to anyone else. He comes into our hearts individually and he takes care and he speaks personally and he's very intimate with us and wants to be. He doesn't delegate that responsibility, but he does it himself. He went to the cross himself so that we can have a hope and a future. The good shepherd stays with the sheep. Did you know that back in the Bible days, and maybe some parts of Palestine today, unlike shepherding that you see happening today, the shepherds actually stayed many a time with the sheep. The sheep were in a sort of a round folder. It could be square, and there was only one door. And the shepherd, with the sheep inside that pen, would actually sleep at the door of the pen. to prevent the sheep coming in, and he would sleep there to also protect the sheep from any animals that might want to come in to destroy the sheep. The good shepherd stays with the sheep. The good news is that Jesus Christ says, no matter who you are, no matter what you do, you accept me into your life, I am with you, I love you, and I'm there for you at all times. But something else the shepherd does, a good shepherd carries the sheep into the fold that's wandered off. And you may see, if you look on the internet, you may see many pictures of a shepherd that's actually lifting up a sheep and have them around his neck. The shepherd knows how to carry his sheep. And that's so profound. He goes out and he finds the lost sheep, the one sheep that's lost, and he brings them back into the fold. Not leads them, he brings them. He lifts them and he carries them into the fold. That's how much a good shepherd cares for the sheep. And Jesus Christ, I'm telling you today, is a good shepherd, and he cares for humanity. We're made in his image and after his likeness, and he loves us dearly. Jeremiah chapter 50 and verse 19, if you're writing, you can look that up later. I'm going to stop now. I'm just going to read one more verse, and then I'm finished. Okay? The good shepherd leads the sheep. He doesn't drive them. And that's the point I was trying to make earlier, that today shepherds, they drive the sheep from behind with their shepherding dogs. They drive them from behind into the place where they want them to go. But the Bible says that the good shepherd leads his sheep. And that's how the way it used to happen in Palestine, and in some parts of Palestine, it still does happen like that today. He leads the sheep. In other words, he goes in front and the sheep follow. And that's what John 10 talks about. That the good shepherd knows the sheep, and the sheep knows the shepherd. So the shepherd doesn't need to worry. He knows that the sheep know that the good shepherd cares for them. And so the sheep will follow him wherever he goes. So he is at the front, and the sheep are following. And God loves us today and wants us to follow him and to give our hearts to him. And to trust him to lead us, no matter what the terrain or the circumstances look like. Lamentations 5:21. I'll close with this verse, I think. It says, "Restore us to yourselves, O Lord, that we may be restored." So there may be a need in your heart, in your life right now, and maybe you used to know Christ, and what this verse is saying, restore us, Lord. Restore means to go back and make full again. Restore us. Bring us back to that place, Lord, where we once knew you. So that we may be restored with other things. So that your life, whatever the emptiness that you're feeling, can be filled with goodness, hope, love, care, concern, mercy. Folks, let's be honest. We live in a world now where there's so much turmoil. There's so much trouble all over the world. All over the world. And I often ask myself, I say, my God, I'm so glad that I know you as my personal Lord and Savior. So that when you get bad news, or when things happen that are not so pleasant, or when you hear or see something that is a big massive shake to the system, that we can rest and abide and trust in our Lord and Savior. Isn't that good news?
Amen.
And folks, the good news is that the arms of the good shepherd are open today. The question is, will you make a change? Will you let him in? And that's all he's asking. He can't force his way into anybody's heart, into anybody's life. Even as Christians, maybe you're going through stuff right now. Maybe you're trying to fix it. You can't fix it by yourself. We've been talking about kingdom resources that have been made available and how to convert them using our mouth, our tongue, and bringing them into the realm of the natural. And that's what God has provided for us and wants us to do. So it does matter what you say. And I'll say something more about that next week. Bow your heads and close your eyes for me, please. Just going to end. It's part of the service. with a prayer. But I just wondered this morning, is there anyone here who say, you know, Pastor David, I don't know what it is, you know, but I know that there's something, there's a pull on the inside. I know I need to make some kind of change, and maybe I'm a bit scared, a bit nervous of doing it, but I really recognize that there's something going on the inside, that this good shepherd that David talks about, I want to experience him. The good shepherd that you're talking about, that you haven't experienced with, I want to experience that too. I need to change. I need something that, or someone that I can lean on, because there's so much turmoil that's happening in my life right now. I just wondered, is anybody here who say, yes, Pastor David, please pray for me as you close this meeting. Just slip your hand up and I'll pray for you. Is there anyone here? Thank you. Is there anyone here who says, yes, I need the Lord into my heart and in my life more than I really recognize. Thank you. Is there anyone else who'd like to just slip your hand up? Thank you for being honest. You know, you're not just doing it to me, you're doing it to the Lord. Okay? Thank you. Is there anyone else who say, yes, Pastor David, I want to make that change, you know? But I can't go on like this in life. Even if things seem well, I know it's not well, and it's culminating somewhere. And I need to really just give my heart completely and solely to the Lord Jesus Christ. Is there anyone else? Just one more. Well, just last time I'm calling. Is there anyone? Just slip your hand up today. I want to pray with you. Can I ask us to stand on our feet, everybody, please? Can I ask those who raise your hands just to come forward? Just come forward. Those who raise their hands, just come forward. Come a little bit here, okay? I'm going to pray for you as well, congregation, okay? But I'm just going to pray for these people that raise their hands. If anybody else who wants to come forward, do that now. You're not coming to me, you're coming to Christ by faith. And his promise to help, okay? Whatever the help might be. So, can I ask you to stretch your hand, please, toward these beautiful people who have come forward? Whatever their need is today, Shannon. Whatever their need is today, God will help. Okay? So I want you to, stand with your hands like this, okay? And I'm just going to pray. Okay? I'm going to pray for them and I'm going to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I just want to thank you for your daughters and your son, Lord God, that's come forward. And Lord, what's been expressed, Lord God, is a need, Lord God, that they have in their hearts, in their lives, because of so much that's happening and so much that's going on. And Father, we know, Lord God, that you are able to look beyond the smoke, if you like, Lord God, and get right down to business, Lord God, in terms, Lord Jesus, of what their real needs are. And Father, as they have come forward and they have their hands, Lord God, in a posture to receive, I pray that you will just let your blessing rest upon them, Father. That, Lord God, you will impute in their hearts, Lord God, a desire, Father, and a consciousness, Lord God, of you more than ever before. That, Lord God, no matter how the turmoil is, Lord God, if they put their trust in you, Lord God, everything else will be well. And so, Father, we thank you for them this morning. And we thank you for their honesty. We thank you, Lord God, for them coming forward, Lord Jesus. And I pray in the name of the Lord that they will not leave through these doors the same, but they will be rejuvenated in their hearts, Lord. And that, Father, they will just receive you as their personal help this morning in the name of Jesus. Now, all three know you already as their Lord and Savior, Father. But I pray right now that there will be a change, Lord. Whatever is holding back that change, Lord, I pray that it will be broken in the name of Jesus Christ. And so we look to you and we say, thank you, Lord, for being their help. There's another psalmist said, I think it was David, actually, who said, I will lift up my eyes unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And so, Father, we thank you this morning that, oh God, these three beautiful people have come forward saying, yes, Lord, they need your help.
that you will be their good shepherd, Lord, that you will help them through this valley time that they're in, Lord. And whatever the circumstances are, Lord God, they can confess out of their mouth that it is well. We give you praise and we give you all the honor and glory for what you are doing in their hearts even now. And we give you all the thanks again in Jesus' precious name. Amen. And so, Lord, I pray for this congregation this morning. I thank you for them, Lord, and I thank you for their lives. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you will speak and that you will move, Lord, as you purpose, Lord, in our hearts and in our lives, Lord. We lift them up before you, and I pray that as they leave, that you will speak into their hearts, Lord, and that you will cause them to realize, Lord Jesus, that you are there watching over them, Lord God, at all times and in all things. I give you praise for what you are doing now. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for this fellowship. Thank you, Lord God, for the fellowship that we will have even after this meeting. And I give you all the glory and I give you all the praise that your will be done. And at the end, Lord God, we will see goodness and mercy in our hearts and in our lives because of the decisions and the choices that we have made. I give you all the praise today in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. And everybody say,
amen.
Amen and amen. Can we give them a hand, please? God bless. You may be seated. Thank you.
So, we're going to have the morning's announcements. And then maybe after that, we'll end with some worship as we take up the morning's tithes and offerings. Thank you, Simone, as she comes. God bless you.